bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Quinn Scott, Matt Esteson, Kyler Carrasco, and Ashley Parkton behind the glass taking care of us. Going all the way up to 3 o'clock. We are in hour number one. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Tyler with a outstanding dad joke on there for your Excel usage. Said you are a freak in the sheets. That is so well done.
Yeah.
There's never been a more proud moment on this show than reading that right now, right there. You should feel
glad I could be a part of it.
You should feel even more proud that you're the driving force of it. Yeah.
Whatever gets my name out there, I guess.
We get this on the channel. Did Snead quit because he kept calling him Captain Sneederoo? No, he just said he was coming around to it and was becoming a fan of it. So he'll be back. Brandon Gray to number. The Big Ten. Now, they revealed their schedule format last week.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not like breaking news, especially when you had the SEC unveil their opponents last night. And we'll get into that as well. But I'm curious because on your thoughts, because I personally like the way that they have approached this. And the reason it interests me is because if you do succeed or end up making a move sooner than later or are able to in conference expansion, conference realignment, you're going to have to figure out a scheduling format. And you're already in a one time only, right, for the year of 2024 with Texas and Oklahoma still here. And so you don't have anything set, clearly, and even if you did, I would want you to reassess it as you kind of get your more firm-footed schools in the conference. But let's say you get to that same number as what the Big Ten is. I really, really like this format. I don't like the name, the like Flex Protect format or something like that, but essentially it gives them a 3-6-6 where you're playing everybody in the conference at least once every 2 years, so you're having more rotation than what when you're looking at what the SEC did. Now, part of what the SEC did with confining themselves to 8 conference games, which is already just a flat out joke in the conference where it just means more, the Big Ten gave each school up to 3 protected rivalries. Now, there's kind of an interesting situation with Penn State because they don't have any, and they certainly do have like secondary rivals, but still big game mm-hmm. type opponents in the Big Ten. But I'm just curious, is this something that you look at and go, boy, I would, if the Big 12 does get to those numbers, that is a system that I would like to do?
Yeah. I like the protected rivals. I think that builds, that creates game buildups. Where you start having these you know, opponents that you're playing year in and year out. I like the rotation as well,
mm-hmm.
Where you have it within the 4-year gap of playing there in a way. I don't see a lot of bad with it, to be honest with you. It is a bit shocking that out of all the teams, they seem to have their set rivals, but Penn is left out. I would have thought that like Ohio State and Penn, Michigan and Penn, I feel like you could have put those in there as like locked rivals because they're going to be big games. They're big games every year. Mm-hmm. Usually out of those two teams, if not both, there's a pretty highly ranked team playing. So I just feel like that was kind of a weird thing. I wonder if that was the school choice, I would assume.
Well, and I'm not sure what the
like the whole
discussion
holdup.
Process yeah. of what to get to those was, but it is interesting that there's only one school that has all 3 of those protected opponents filled out. Do you have it in front of you? Because if not, I want you to guess who it is, who the school that has all three filled out.
The school that has what? Their three rivals?
That has all three actually, like it's because it's the three MACs, right? There's only one school that has actually all three protected rivalries in place. Like those are who they will protect, I guess, until the end of Big Ten time or something.
So would it be Michigan, Ohio State?
It's Iowa. Iowa has all three.
Okay.
Iowa has, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Wisconsin.
Okay.
As their, but like,
Iowa State, what am I thinking?
Like Ohio State only has Michigan.
Yeah, that's right.
Michigan has Ohio State clearly reversed, and then Michigan State, so they have two. But a lot of schools just have one, and Penn State being the lone that doesn't have any. So
Wisconsin, Nebraska, Minnesota. Yeah.
This is where I also really like this. With it being flexible, because every time we've thrown out options and we've been talking about pods and divisions and all of that kind of scheduling format layout for like 2 years now. Really, ever since we found out that the Big 12 was going to be around and was going to be fine after you added the four schools coming in next year, it's been, okay, well, what's it going to look like? And again, you're in a one-off year, but still on the other side going, this probably isn't the exact skeleton of what it's going to be, because you're going to have a couple of extra phalanges probably added, whether that's two Pac-12 schools or UConn. I expect something to happen still. Who knows? Maybe it's just Colorado. Maybe it's just one. Either way, after your one-off year, you're still going to have to figure out something. Now, if you have the numbers to match up with this, what I like about it is every time we've talked about options, it's been so rigid, and it's been like, okay, well, you have to have these three, or you have to go two protected and then everybody else. Or if you're the SEC, you get one. I like that this has the option of three, but you don't have to go to it if the rivalries aren't there, to kind of add in to the competition level where it's going to cycle more, and you don't just get stuck with either one school just dominating three others, or if it gets close to like what it ended up being in the Big 12 when the North was just a hot pail of garbage and like a Missouri was good, and then the South had three or four teams that were actually competing with each other. This stays away from that.
Yeah, and I don't think you want to handpick a rival, right? You want them to be organic. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't, like say Arizona and Arizona State came into the Big 12, you wouldn't just automatically say, okay, we're going to pair off TCU and Arizona State. That's a rival. No, it's not. Arizona and Arizona State would be a rival. That's their rivalry. Mm-hmm. That's an in-state rival. And so back to the, as we're looking at the Big Ten, I do like how not every team has just the same set of rivals, because it makes sense, mm-hmm. Iowa, as you said, has three. Purdue's got two on here. Michigan has two. But not every team has that dedicated rival. So in mm-hmm. the Big 12, if you're adding all these teams in, you wouldn't, like I said, you'd want these rivals to become organic, and maybe over the next 10 years, you would start to develop some different rivalries that you would say, okay, we need to relook at the schedule. These teams are clearly becoming like a, the atmosphere is getting real intense. Maybe the rivalry starts to develop, it starts to grow, and you have that. I don't think you just start pairing off rivals. So I like it. I like exactly how they did the schedule, and I would like to see if the Big 12 gets those numbers, like you said, to...
Right, and that's the first part. You actually have to succeed in conference realignment.
That's right.
And you have to get some of those targets that you've had thrown around for like a year now and really picked up in the past 6 months. But I agree. I like that this, and from my understanding of it, is the ones that have it open on some, like a Penn State, it doesn't mean that they can't lock it down in the future.
That's right.
And again, where it goes, we've talked about everything being like from day one, it's got to be this, and this is what we're going to lock ourselves into. Like they haven't done that.
Yeah.
Right? They've looked at it and gone, of course USC and UCLA are going to be paired together. Of course you're going to play Ohio State and Michigan. Right? Like you've had most of, to me, the Big Ten's no-brainers nailed down, but still have allowed yourself some space and breathing room to let something, because who knows, maybe Maybe it's 6 years and we're talking about that. Can you believe that UCLA and Purdue rivalry that formed? Didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
And now you don't want to miss that game.
Yeah.
You just don't know. And as you look from a Big 12 standpoint, I agree. Like, as you have the new schools, you could force a pairing together if that's what you had to do scheduling. That's the only thing that made sense. But I'd rather have the option, especially in a league that has limited natural rivals from what's happened with OU and Texas.
Yeah.
Like true looking at all of the history that they have. And when you think of those two, you think of them together type rivalries. You don't want to force anything because it's going to be better if it happens organically.
Yeah. Yeah. The Big 12 probably lost the best rivalry that was known was in the Red River Shootout, losing both those teams. I mean, that was huge. Well, and now the Big 12 lost that.
We'll come back to this. It's the Bottom Line 100.7, The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7, The Score.
100.7, The Score. AM 950, the mobile app, streaming live on YouTube, on Fox 34 News Now. You can find us so many places. We're everywhere. We are a presence.
Find us.
Find us. Or we'll find you.
Or we'll find you.
No, we won't. Clint Scott, Matt Esteson, Kaya Carrasco, Ashley Parton. Thanks to you for joining us on a Thursday edition. Two series being wrapped up tonight on both of our stations. 107 The Score right here. Astros versus Nationals. Astros going for the sweep at 6:40 over on Double T 97.3. It's another 3.5 hour tech talk. Going all the way up to 6:30, Rangers versus Angels. Rangers had a couple back-to-back home runs, back-to-back pitches to be exact. First pitch swinging for Corey Seager after Marcus Semien had a two-run shot as they get their first win in four tries. Stop that little three-game losing skid. They look to tie the series tonight over there at 6:30, Double T 97.3. So, talking about Big Ten schedule format. Big 12 possibly would be like at this point, the actual scheduling format is on the back burner because you have to have the teams to format it that way. But if you get a similar number, I do like the Flex Protect Plus. Just not the name. Name is very dumb to me.
Sounds like a wrestling move.
Yeah, it does. That's a defensive move. It's not a finisher.
It's not, okay.
It's like an arm drag, something like that. But... As you look at what will, regardless of what happens with snagging a couple of Pac-12 schools or getting a UConn or a Gonzaga, we know that there's going to be four new names and you are entering a brand new Big 12 next year, even though you'll still have the one-off with Texas and Oklahoma. But there is a lack of deep-rooted, like when you think of one team, you think of the other type rivalries. Like what are they left? Kansas State, that's an easy one, right? Sunflower Showdown's been going on forever. That's one.
Yeah.
Past that?
I've got none.
Yeah, I was like, for that sort of level, I'll wait. It's not a knock, but when you think of, boy, that rivalry game you're tuning into every single year. When Texas and Oklahoma left, of course you're losing the Red River rivalry. Who cares? Go on. But
the atmosphere was electric there, though.
You're missing out on Bedlam now.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Texas not wanting to accept you as a rival, you're losing a Texas and Texas Tech, which was on there, but clearly Texas and Oklahoma takes precedence even over Bedlam. And yep. Over that, and you know, you could argue before Texas A&M left that they are the Aggies,
yep,
and Longhorns were bigger rivals. And so if you're going to something will forge, right, as you get these new schools. Something will happen, but it's going to take time because you don't have the history with the UCLA.
It's going to take
the history with BYU.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of time for rivals to form like that. That, you, like I said, you want them to be an organic and just naturally happen, but it's not going to be like a 3-year thing. I mean, we're, at least for me, we're talking 10 years, 15 years, where you develop that the word would be hatred. Like, teams coming to town, you're like, oh my gosh, we win one game this year. This is the one to win. Mm-hmm. That just takes time.
Yeah, so it's just interesting. On and again, right, it's more important that you just go beat your opponents, right? Like, that shouldn't be, oh, we don't have any deep-seated rivals, anything like that. But it does feel in that department, the Big 12, is, those shells are pretty bare.
Well, I think without just diving in, I would think the ACC is pretty close to that as well. Like, where mm-hmm. the rivals, I think the SEC and Big 10 just have some real strong heated rivals. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the Big 12 is lacking on that, and adding some teams could change that. So, do you like the Big 10s? No division, just the best two teams in the conference play for the championship.
Yes.
Or do you like the SEC? Yes. Let's have divisions. And I'm with you.
I don't like divisions.
Pick the best two teams that play in your conference, and that's who should compete for your title. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't like the divisions. Maybe that would be different again if I just still had such a sour taste in my mouth from when the Big 12 was in divisions. Mm-hmm. And you went, I mean, these are not the best two teams. Consistently, these are not the best two teams playing in the Big 12 championship. And I want to stay as far away from that as possible. I didn't love the... And I'm glad that, and part of that was because you were being told this is why you're being left out. I hated the, well, we're just going to play everybody, and there's not going to be a Big 12 championship. That was even worse.
Yeah.
But when I look at this, and if you do like the pod system, it doesn't mean, and this is again where I like the flexibility of the Big 10s. It doesn't mean that you're saying like, oh, okay, so Tech is paired up with BYU. And they're, you know, teamed up with Baylor, and they're teamed up with Oklahoma State. Those are your new rivals. It just means those are your partner scheduled, your two-way.
It's just your dance partner.
Opponents. And so that's where I like the flexibility of the Big Ten. And I don't hate that Penn State's is bare, because I think that they'll do a good, like, already they're going to play Michigan this year. Now, Penn State, Ohio State, probably the better game. But I think they're leaving that open too, because if you're looking at a TV driving type games,
yeah.
What's the two teams from the new that are going in there and the ones that are staying that everyone is interested in seeing matching up? It's USC and Ohio State.
Yeah.
This gives the open to make sure something like this will happen. And maybe that's one that eventually does get locked down, just from a, not a storied rivalry, but from a big brand coming in, stepping in on another big brand's territory. Now, you don't have all the weight, because you don't have the weight of an Ohio State type team. You don't have the weight of a USC coming in. But this is where, if it's open and it's, again, flexible, you can form some of that stuff.
You can, yeah.
It's going to take time. But if you lock yourself into something like that and you go back to the word rigid, then you're going to go ahead and box out the option of that ever happening.
Yep. Got to have options.
All right, let's get in a feisty, extra feisty play of the day.
Gets ready, the 1-1. And that ball hit in the air down the left field line. If it stays fair, it is gone! Right off the pole! A two-run shot for Marcus!
Just barely.
There you go, that from the Rangers win yesterday. Got the offense going. That was right before Corey Seager said, I will have one of those as well. He looked, they're at the restaurant, and he saw the fajitas go by, and he goes, oh, that smells pretty good. I think I'll get the fajitas too. I said, oh, that looked fun. I think I'll hit
anything
a home run as well.
You can do, I can do better.
Yeah, mine only took one pitch. I saw it on the first one. We get this on the Ace Flooring Center chat line from Tyler. There's a common joke that Tech and Penn State should be rivals, since both of us don't have a main rival. Tech's main rivals are taken by someone else. I'm here for it. The classic battle between the Nittany Lions and the Red Raiders.
Yeah, that'd take a long time to form.
That would be funny if they were just like, you know what? We're going to schedule each other in the non-conference every single
year.
But man, it's crazy though. Like, when you think in the Big 12, Iowa State, their biggest rivals in the Big 10.
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia, their biggest rivals in the ACC.
Yeah.
It's just, it's... when you're wanting that sort of storyline in the season, those options just aren't there from the get-go. It's more of, okay, who has ended up being really good playing another team that has ended up really good, and that's the biggest interest.
Well, because it'd be TCU, Houston, or Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Who out of those would you develop a rival with if you had it your way?
Well, if it was my way, I want Oklahoma State.
BK King.
I want the Cowboys for me. Huh? I would love for that to go because you have a similar type school.
Yeah.
I've said this before. I love the rivalries that are clearly because in most of them they're one going, oh, that team is so backwoods, and oh, that team is so uppity, and you have that angle. But this would be a case of, and the, you get the copy U and Xerox U stuff going too, but we are doing what you do, but we are doing it better.
Yeah.
And I love that feel.
For me, it would be TCU.
I wouldn't hate TCU. That'd be Jamie's pick too. Well, right.
I do. Correct. I know what you're saying. I got what you're saying.
Let's go Oral Roberts. Get him.
Or UCF. I'm real. That's the most team I'm most excited about coming in.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
You've got the Bottom Line on 107 The Score, 107thescore.com, AM 950, the mobile app, streaming live on YouTube, on Fox 34 News Now. Can find us so many places. We're everywhere. We are a presence.
Find us.
Find us. Or we'll find you.
Or we'll find you.
No, we won't. Clint Scott, Matt Esteson, Kyler Carrasco, Ashley Parton. Thanks you for joining us on a Thursday edition. Two series being wrapped up tonight on both of our stations. 107 The Score right here. Astros versus Nationals. Stros going for the sweep at 640 over on Double T 97.3. It's another 3.5 hour tech talk going all the way up to 630. Rangers versus Angels. Rangers had a couple back-to-back home runs. Back-to-back pitches, to be exact. First pitch swinging for Corey Seager after Marcus Semien had a two-run shot. As they get their first win in four tries, stop that little three-game losing skid. They look to tie the series tonight over there at 630, Double T, 97.3. So, talking about Big Ten schedule format, Big 12 possibly would be, like at this point, the actual scheduling format is on the back burner because you have to have the teams to
gotta add.
Format it that way. But if you get a similar number, I do like the Flex Protect Plus. It's not the name. Name is very dumb to me.
Sounds like a wrestling move.
Yeah, it does. That's a defensive move. It's not a finisher.
It's not, okay.
It's like an arm drag, something like that. But as you look at what will, regardless of what happens with snagging a couple of Pac-12 schools or getting a UConn or a Gonzaga, we know that there's going to be four new names, and you are entering a brand new Big 12 next year, even though you'll still have the one-off with Texas and Oklahoma. But there is a lack of deep-rooted, like when you think of one team, you think of the other type rivalries. Like what are they left? Kansas, Kansas State, that's an easy one, right? Sunflower Showdown's been going on forever. That's one.
Yeah.
Past that,
I've got none.
Yeah, I was like, for that sort of level, I'll wait. And it's not a knock, but when you think of, boy, that rivalry game you're tuning into every single year, when Texas and Oklahoma left, of course you're losing the Red River rivalry. Who cares? Go on. But
the atmosphere was electric there, though.
You're missing out on Bedlam now.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Texas not wanting to accept you as a rival, you're losing a Texas and Texas Tech, which was on there, but clearly Texas and Oklahoma takes precedence even over Bedlam and yep. over that. And, you know, you could argue before Texas A&M left that they are the Aggies
yep.
and Longhorns were bigger rivals. And so if you're going to something will forge, right, as you get these new schools. Something will happen, but it's going to take time because you don't have the history with the UCF.
It's going to take
history with BYU.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot of time for rivals to form like that. That, like I said, you want them to be an organic and just naturally happen, but it's not going to be like a 3-year thing. I mean, we're at least for me, we're talking 10 mm-hmm. years, 15 years where you develop that. The word would be hatred. Like, teams coming to town, you're like, oh my gosh, we win one game this year. This is the one to win. Mm-hmm. That just takes time.
Yeah, so it's just interesting. And again, it's more important that you just go beat your opponents, right? Like, that shouldn't be, oh, we don't have any deep-seated rivals, anything like that. But it does feel in that department, the Big 12, those shells are pretty bare.
Well, I think. Without just diving in, I would think the ACC is pretty close to that as well. Like where the rivals, I think the SEC and Big Ten just have some real strong heated rivals. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the Big 12 is lacking on that, and adding some teams could change that. So, do you like the Big Ten's no division? Just the best two teams in the conference play for the championship?
Yes.
Or do you like the SEC? Yes. Let's have divisions. And I'm with you.
I don't like divisions.
Pick the best two teams that play in your conference, and that's who should compete for your title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't like the divisions. Maybe that would be different, again, if I just still had such a sour taste in my mouth from when the Big 12 was in divisions. Mm-hmm. And you went, I mean, these are not the best two teams. Consistently, these are not the best two teams playing in the Big 12 championship. And I want to stay as far away from that as possible. I didn't love the, and I'm glad that, and part of that was because you were being told this is why you're being left out. I hated the, well, we're just going to play everybody, and there's not going to be a Big 12 championship. That was even worse.
Yeah.
But when I look at this, and if you do like the pod system, it doesn't mean. And this is, again, where I like the flexibility of the Big Tens. It doesn't mean that you're saying, like, oh, okay, so Tech is paired up with BYU, and they're, you know, teamed up with Baylor, and they're teamed up with Oklahoma State. Those are your new rivals. It just means those are your partner scheduled, your two-way.
It's just your dance partner.
Opponents. And so that's where I like the flexibility of the Big Tens. And I don't hate that Penn State's is bare. Because I think that they'll do a good, like already they're going to play Michigan this year. Now Penn State, Ohio State, probably the better game. But I think they're leaving that open too, because if you're looking at a TV driving type games.
Yeah.
What's the two teams from the new that are going in there and the ones that are staying that everyone is interested in seeing matching up? It's USC and Ohio State.
Yeah.
This gives the open to make sure something like this will happen. And maybe that's one that eventually does get locked down just from a, not a storied rivalry, but from a big brand coming in, stepping in on another big brand's territory. Now, you don't have all the weight because you don't have the weight of an Ohio State type team. You don't have the weight of a USC coming in. But this is where if it's open and it's, again, flexible, you can form some of that stuff.
You can, yeah.
It's going to take time. But if you lock yourself into something like that and you go back to the word rigid, then you're going to go ahead and box out the option of that ever happening.
Yep. Got to have options.
All right. Let's get in a feisty, extra feisty play of the day.
Hurgits ready, the 1-1. And that ball hit in the air down the left field line. If it stays fair, it is gone! Right off the pole! A two-run shot for
just barely. There you go. That from the Rangers win yesterday. Got the offense going. That was right before Corey Seager said, I will have one of those as well. He looked, they're at the restaurant, and he saw the fajitas go by, and he goes, oh, that smells pretty good. I think I'll get the fajitas too. I said, oh, that looked fun. I think I'll hit a home run.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
Yeah, mine only took one pitch. I saw it on the first one. We get this on the Ace Flooring Center chat line from Tyler. There's a common joke that Tech and Penn State should be rivals since both of us don't have a main rival. Tech's main rivals are taken by someone else. I'm here for it. The classic battle between the Nittany Lions and the Red Raiders.
Yeah, that'd take a long time to form.
That would be funny if they were just like, you know what? We're going to schedule each other in the non-conference every single
year.
But, man, it's crazy, though. Like, when you think in the Big 12, Iowa State, their biggest rivals in the Big 10.
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia, their biggest rivals in the ACC.
Yeah.
It's just, it's... When you're wanting that sort of storyline in the season, those options just aren't there from the get-go. It's more of, okay, who has ended up being really good playing another team that has ended up really good, and that's the biggest interest.
Well, because it'd be TCU, Houston, or Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Who out of those would you develop a rival with if you had it your way?
Well, if it was my way, I want Oklahoma State.
BK King.
I want the Cowboys for me.
Huh.
I would love for that to go because you have a similar type school.
Yeah.
I've said this before. I love the rivalries that are clearly because in most of them, they're one going, oh, that team is so backwoods and oh, that team is so uppity. And you have that angle. But this would be a case of, and you get the copy U and Xerox U stuff going too. But we are doing what you do, but we are doing it better.
Yeah.
And I love that feel.
For me, it would be TCU.
I wouldn't hate TCU. That'd be Jamie's pick, too. Well, right.
I do. Correct. I know what you're saying. I got what you're saying.
Let's go Oral Roberts. Get him.
Or UCF. That's the most team I'm most excited about coming in.
Getting to the points, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's time for the fastest growing game show in the world. Even faster than take versus take. It's take versus take versus take. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Tyler Carrasco, Ashley Parton. Jamie has the questions. It means it's a trifecta of answers today. Ashley making her first take versus take appearance. Kyler is extra nervous because now there's two competitors going for the throne or the crown.
So we could have a three-way tie.
We could.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That would be boring.
Yeah.
All right, question number one. We'll start with you, Clint. Tell me who is the best dunker ever.
No, it's Vince Carter. No, like, there's no doubt in my mind because he's an all-time highlight reel from dunking in the actual dunk contest
mm-hmm.
and all of the things that he pulled off. But then he was doing them mid-game, too. Like, he may have the best Olympic dunk of all time
mm-hmm.
when he just flat out dunked over that dude and then in celebration Kevin Garnett like clotheslined him which is mm-hmm. almost hilarious to me but he
poor European dude
he broke what was sort of getting to a stale dunk contest at that point he just broke what the dunk contest could be and it was every single one he did was perfection.
Some of his stuff at UNC was pretty spectacular as well.
Yeah, and he just set the standard of what it should be. And then it wasn't just Raptors Vince Carter. It was like what Nets, the Nets version of Vince Carter mm-hmm. when he was getting older.
Mm-hmm.
The gravity did not apply to that man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Be careful. You're getting close to talking too long and starting to lose points because you're talking too long.
Sorry. We'll start over. It's Vince Carter.
I'm going Michael Jordan.
He was pretty good. Pretty good.
I think I'm going to say Kobe Bryant.
Oh, Kobe. Okay, regrettably, I'm going with Clint. I do think Vince Carter is the best. I think Sean Kemp is number two on my list. Because yeah. he did a lot of what Vince Carter did. Maybe not quite as good, but he did it with such authority, such power.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that dude, I mean, he was vicious when he threw it down.
I know this isn't a popular answer because he wasn't doing some of like the acrobatics and stuff, but when you go like dominance, Shaq's actually on my list.
Because oh, really?
Of how many people he threw yeah. it down over, which mm-hmm. I know was not the, like, I jumped from the free throw line,
mm-hmm.
but just the raw power, I yeah. think he should be talked about more
yeah.
in that conversation.
Vince Carter gets knocked back a little bit because he has, like, seven different children from six different women. So that knocks him back a peg or two.
Six slam dunks.
Okay. Question number two. I'm going to go back-to-back sports here, and I'm going to finish with an off-the-wall one. Which is normally not what I do. I just wanted to show you guys my versatility.
Okay.
Kyler, you go first. Tell me the best college sports rivalry. So that means you got to give me the sport and the schools.
Okay, I'm going to do football, and then I'm going to do Michigan and Ohio State.
Okay. Ashley, you can go second.
I'm going to say football, Texas versus A&M.
I'll go basketball. Okay. And I think Duke, North Carolina is the best sports rivalry. And the reason with that is the epitome of one team could be pretty average and the other team be special. And you know that that average team still has a chance to win that rivalry game. And you get it twice a year, which makes it even better. That's why I like the nod with that over football. But Duke UNC is my favorite.
Well, I love that one. I love the fact that I feel like there's so much hatred between Michigan and Ohio State. Like, yeah. They won't even say the other school's name. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much anger and just the viciousness between the two sides pushes it over the edge. But I love Duke, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. As well. I mean, that's a really good one also. But I'm going with Kyler. So 1-1-0. We go to our final question. I'll let Ashley start on this one. Okay, there's a list of things in this world where they say you get what you pay for, okay? And I have a list, personally, that I say you can't go with off-brand, okay? You got to go with the real deal, all right? My list include shoes.
Ketchup.
Toilet paper.
Ketchup.
Okay. Cars.
Ketchup.
And Pop-Tarts.
The Pop-Tart snobbery from two different hosts that sit in that chair is incredible.
You cannot go generic Pop-Tarts.
Oh, it's yes, like a you can.
Completely different food item. Completely different. Those are the four on my list. Add one to my list. Ashley, you're first.
I'm going to say ice cream. Like, I can never buy, like, store brand ice cream because, like, I just always buy Blue Bell.
Clint?
It's ketchup. You talk about Heinz so much that you have, to the world, on the top of the ketchup cliffs, said I could blindly taste test all of the ketchup and would know what my favorite one is. And that's the one small thing I've seen you speak out ill will and death wishes to the other brands. It's ketchup.
I'm going with laundry detergent. I feel like there's only like one brand that people get. Like, there's no like.
We've got like four different ones in our house, and I don't.
That's speaking coming from you, though. I'm talking about normal people.
Whoa. Whoa. I don't purchase. I don't purchase that item in my house. Whoa!
Oh, Kyler should get the point for just insulting Clint.
Wow.
When she said, like, not like you, I'm talking about normal people.
We'd like to thank her services and welcome in Ashley.
You don't get to fire Kyler. All right. Ashley, I can't go with you because you picked an Aggie item. Bluebell is Aggie all the way. And so I don't even let the family buy Aggie items. So no Blue Bell ice cream in our house. But I will also say you're right. It is better. It is fantastic. I actually, with ketchup, like there's ketchups out there that I'm okay with. You know, you go to a store you go to a restaurant, it's not always Heinz. I'm okay with it, okay? You're on the right path though, okay? Kyler, I can't go with Kyler because I didn't even know. I don't have a clue how many detergents are out there. I don't know that I've ever purchased it before in my life.
What was one you were even talking about when you were like, there's only one?
Tide?
When you went Highlander back there.
Tide? Yeah. So by process of elimination, Clint is fearful I'm about to give myself the point. I'm giving the point to Clint. Yes. Clint wins. Yes. 2-1.
To zero.
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad because, again, Blue Bell ice cream is good. There's no doubt. But it's Aggie ice cream. I can't allow you to win a point using Aggie ice cream. I can't do it.
What would have been, and I know you have your list set there.
Mm-hmm.
What would have been like a complete all the way lock in, you get the point answer. Like one that's kind of on the fringe of that anyways.
I don't know that I had one. I don't know that I, those are the four that I'm like.
Did you say off-brand Mountain Dew?
Is there even such a thing?
Yeah, there's like Mountain Lightning and like Mount Speck. Like every single off-brand soda.
Mount Speckle? What?
Mount Special. I was going to say.
There's no such thing. There's
yeah,
just
there is.
One.
It's like Dr. Pepper.
As
like
Dr.
Special
Thunder.
K and Dr. Thunder and, yeah. and all of the kind of knockoffs, which just aren't the same. And I'm not saying they're bad. I mm-hmm. like some. Like, I like Pibb, but it's different. Like, they have the cheaper version of Mountain Dew, which is not called Mountain Dew. That should have been my answer. I just thought, you speak so badly of other ketchups that I thought you just hated all the other ones.
I don't. I mean, I don't like Hunt's as much, but.
All of a sudden, we're backing off. I should have said.
I think Heinz is way better, but I don't like hate it. If it's the only thing there, I'll dip my fry in it.
I've really upset people apparently with how I say ketchup. You do. So somebody
complained about it yesterday too.
Yeah.
How do you say it?
Ketchup.
Ketchup.
I feel like we're saying the same thing here.
I'm. Eh.
This is a Fromber Framber again.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a little different.
Kyler, say ketchup.
Ketchup?
Yeah, Ashley, she says it like me.
Ashley, say ketchup.
Ketchup?
She says it like me.
I guess I'm not even.
You're saying it with an A, we're saying it with an E.
Normal people, Clint.
Once again, we'd like to thank Kyler for her services over the past year. Congratulations to Ashley on the Thursday producer. Hey, doesn't matter. Smack talk all you want. Still take versus take versus take winner.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hour number three of the Bottom Line. Get us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Jamie Lint, Kyler Carrasco behind the glass. Taking care of us as we're live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973, or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, answers to any of the take versus take or question of the day questions. Don't forget, you can take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank, live on AM 950, streaming live on YouTube, and you can find us on Fox 34 News Now. We have two different series finales tonight. 6:40 right here on 100.7 The Score. The Stros go for the sweep over the Nationals. 6:30 over on Double T97.3. The Rangers look to tie the series of a four-game series against the Angels, winning yesterday, thanks in part to back-to-back home runs from Marcus Semien and Corey Seager. The Stros won on a walk-off throwing error. First, what did you think of the old Nats coach with the picture?
I think he's 100% right. See, it's interesting, and I just heard just this weekend. Was it this weekend or was it earlier this week in a Rangers game? CJ Nitkowski, the television color analyst, bringing up a point that I think is absolutely accurate. And umpires are not calling it unless the ball hits the runner, bounces off, and then you at that point look and see that he's out of the running lane that he's supposed to be in, and they'll call him out for interference. Mm-hmm. But constantly you're seeing a catcher, sometimes a pitcher, but usually a catcher pick up a ball and throw it down the first baseline, and they throw it wide because they're trying to avoid hitting him even though he is not in the running lane. And so Nitkowski's point, which I completely agree with, is, so what do you want catchers to do? If the umpires aren't just going to make the call and say, no matter what happens, this guy's out, do you want catchers to just start plugging the base runner in the middle of the back? Because then they're going to go, oh, he's out of the running lane. Yeah, he's out. Mm-hmm. But if he tries to avoid hitting him and throws it too far to the second base side of first base, and it goes down the right field line, you're not seeing umpires make that call. And that's exactly what we had last night. The guy is, the runner was clearly not in the running lane. And it's not just the Astros. I mean, we've seen this in college too and in the big leagues. And Nitkowski was talking about the Rangers dealing with it the other night. So unless you want catchers to start hitting base runners with the ball, umpires have to get better about making that call.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably not the first base umpire's job, because the first base umpire is, he's in the business at that point of, I'm watching, does the ball get there before the guy, you know, steps on the bag. It's probably the home plate umpire's job to be watching that from the backside to see if he's in the running lane where he's supposed to be or not. Okay? And again, last night he was nowhere near it, and it should have been called, but it wasn't. Okay? So baseball needs to fix that issue. And to me, it's kind of on the umpires. I think it's really the home plate umpire's job to make that call, unless you want catchers to start throwing at base runners. I don't think you want that.
No, probably not, to just play baseball dodgeball.
Yeah, it's not dodgeball.
You don't want that. You want the baseball version of a crab apple fight.
So you need the umpires to make the call whether it hits the guy or not.
I have I talked about this in the first hour a little bit. I have no issue with complaining about the call. The visual aid approach, just like everyone in every single sport at some time or another has gotten the shaft on a call. They just have, and it will happen again. And everybody in your same sport on the same call has seen something close to it. The visual aid, like the, I have taken notes. We all saw the play. We all saw what you're talking about. The Buzz Williams effect of holding a piece of paper in front of media, make it better. The Chris Kleiman.
There's definitely a level of...
That's what annoyed me. I didn't listen to that going like, you know what? He's wrong. He's dead wrong. He's not making any sort of point. It's just the approach that bugged me.
I mean, there's a level of attitude and jerkness to it. You can also... What's that?
Pettiness. Whininess.
You know, I guess I would... I didn't see anywhere, and maybe I just didn't search for it, but I didn't, you know, a couple nights ago, one of the Mets relievers, Drew Smith, got booted for having sticky substance, and he got ended up getting suspended. And we heard the umpires talking to pool reporters, heard their comments. I would love to have heard the comment last night. If the umpire says, yep, we missed it, then you're right. He doesn't need to come up there with a visual aid.
But, here's my PowerPoint of why they're wrong.
Yes. But if the umpire is going, no, we didn't. We saw him as in the base, in the running lane, blah, 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 blah. We felt like he was in the right spot. If he was saying that, then I would want him to show the visual aid and go, umpire's completely lying. Or really bad at their job.
Man, and they would never agree to this because they already catch so much flack, whether they're good or bad, from a ref standpoint. We need more mic'd up refs to see how they explain stuff.
I said something to you during a commercial break as we're sitting here watching the replay of the Astros and Nats last night. I think big league umpires are pretty good. I really do, especially at home plate, calling balls and strikes compared to college umpires. I think there's a massive difference there. I think major league umpires do a pretty good job with the strike zone. That's not to say that they're perfect, because they're not.
Yeah.
But I think they do a really good job. It's college baseball. It feels pretty, you know, you guys have really good days and they have really bad days. But I think for the most part, major league umpires are a lot more consistent. And there's a reason they're big league umpires, right? Yeah. And there's a reason that college umpires are working their way to that and maybe need more experience and all that. So I'm not saying they're terrible, okay? I just think... That's probably the hardest part of being a baseball umpire, right? It's calling balls and strikes.
Yeah. It has to be.
So probably the better ones are a little bit longer in the tooth and had more experience and called more games, and that helps them get more experience, or helps them get better.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's calling balls and strikes, because all the other ones, even if you make a horrible call, what do you have as a safety net? You got reviews now, right? Mm-hmm. And I would argue, now I'm saying this without the stats in front of me, but I would argue when you get to the review standpoint, I feel like baseball has been the most, okay, yeah, we were wrong on that one, compared to like the NFL, which is atrocious.
Oh my god,
atrocious.
How about when they did the pass interference one?
Yes.
And they overturned almost none.
Because they just doubled down.
Yes.
And basically the approach of that's my guy, and then would lead into, oh, it was inconclusive.
I felt
why even go to it? Why even have it?
I felt like it was more that was, oh, you guys want to challenge this over and over again? Well, we'll show you.
We'll just refuse
to change anything.
That's one of
so you'll stop challenging it and wasting your challenges on it.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest flops of a rule, big rule change or anything like that.
It was so big baby esque of the NFL officials.
That
what
made,
are they referees? Whatever they are.
Like as far as the relationship from fan to refs, which is never going to be good because it's a fan and a ref. Just I mean the mistrust there. Forever on display. Woof. It's the bottom line, 100.7 The Score.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.